Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos. Today, I want to talk to you about interesting teaching topic. I was out witnessing. This topic came up. Somebody asked me about it. Hell, Hades, and the Lake of Fire. Hell, Hades, and the Lake of Fire. Let's talk about this today. It's a hot topic. It's often talked about. It's often debated. The topic of hell. People have written whole books about it, and people make a ton of money off of it, whole conferences, whole teachings, whole theology, and quite honestly, I think they make it really complicated, but it doesn't need to be so if we just go to the Word of God. Let's get right to it. Hell, Hades, and the Lake of Fire. In the Old Testament, before we get to the New Testament, we see verses like this, Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Proverbs 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. So the words used in the Old Testament, Sheol, it denotes a place of the dead, a holding place, right? Now the question that a lot of people argue about is it a permanent place? Is it a holding place? Is it a place of final judgment? Let's let scripture answer that. Let's go right to the New Testament, because most of the Old Testament is going to give you just what I just talked about. Let's talk about the New Testament message to us about hell. Jesus talked of hell more than anyone, described it more than heaven, and he used this term often, Gehenna. Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Gehenna. Now, this was known as a valley around Jerusalem. It was basically a garbage dump full of burning and fire in Jesus' day. It was known of a place of darkness, garbage, burning, smoke, not a nice place. And Jesus used that purposely. He obviously used it because he was aiming at his audience. Who was his audience? Jews of the region who knew of that wicked place that you don't want to go to. But Jesus tells us more. He doesn't just leave us right there. Other times, he used the term Hades. All right? Both of them point to a fiery wrath, not a place of bliss or a place of rest. Now, like I said before, people always try to make this topic confusing, but as we move further into the New Testament, the Word of God, Jesus' parable, makes it really simple for us. Ready? This is where we're going to let it rest. In a parable that Jesus gives us, he makes it very clear as far as what we can believe about death, life after death, Hades, hell, and later in his revelation, the lake of fire. We'll get to that. This parable, I think, is the clearest explanation of the condition at death for both the wicked and the redeemed. Jesus gives us this specifically. Let's read it. It says a lot for us. Luke 16:19-31. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou lived in this life, receive many thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So they that which pass from hence, you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, would thou send to him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That kind of reminds me of Jesus coming back from the dead. And still today, people don't believe his word, follow, and obey it. So Abraham was right there. So it's very clear from this parable, at death, you go somewhere. You go to a place of rest or a place of torment. No soul sleep. Rest or torment. Jesus even told the thief that was on the stake with him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Okay? And I think when we're talking about paradise, Abraham's bosom, only time it's ever used in the Bible right there, was a way to tell the Jews, that was his audience, that it was a good place to go because Abraham the father was there. The Jews knew all about Abraham, honored Abraham. He was their father. They're like, wow, if Abraham's there, that's got to be a good place. Abraham's bosom, a place of rest. And I think it's interesting. Notice it says there's a gulf between them. Abraham was communicating with them, but Lazarus apparently couldn't see. And I think that's interesting that the wicked could see paradise, but perhaps paradise can't see the wicked. I think it's a form of punishment and reward, perhaps. By our deeds, we get rewarded or judged. That's just not dogmatic on Abraham. I know Abraham was talking to him, but maybe that was just for the parable. We don't know that anyone else was able to see the wicked in their punishment. So Brother Paul speaks of the afterlife as well. Paul says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it's appointed unto man once to die, then face judgment. Well, this Abraham's bosom or paradise or Hades, both would be a judgment, right? Before the final judgment that's coming. So there's a restful side and there's a suffering side is what we see from this description here. It seems very clear to me from Scripture that the Old Testament Sheol and the New Testament Hades is a holding place, that final judgment will happen one day when it comes for both the good of the redeemed and the bad and the evil. More on that and what that judgment's going to look like and what happens to Hades in the end. So if we take Jesus' parable with what his revelation, the end of the book of Revelation tells us, it's very clear to me about Hades and hell. And here we go, the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 10 through 15. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's eternal. And I saw a great white throne, and on him sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, everyone according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, so by revelation and from Jesus' parable, we see that there is a Hades, and then there is a final place, a final destination, a final judgment. And we see here that Satan, the false prophet, demons, and ultimately death and hell gets cast into. Sheol or Hades is a holding place later tossed into the lake of fire. Remember, I just read verses 14 and 15. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And the second death, whosoever was not found in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Very clear. Now, death, in the Greek, thanos, this means the dead, and hell, Sheol or Hades, this is a place of the dead. It's cast into the lake, proving these were temporary holding places, right? I think that's clear to see here by Scripture. It's very clear. Now, I need to make this note. Roman Catholic purgatory theology comes from this, where they saw early on, some theologians saw that purgatory, that Hades was going to be cast in a lake of fire, and they saw that people were moving from that to that, and they made up the theology that you can suffer in purgatory and then get out. No scriptures teach that anywhere. In fact, Jesus' parable shows after death, your fate is sealed. Very clear. The difference between Abraham's bosom and the fiery fate. This is what we're talking about here. And what is that real difference? What's the real difference? Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You got to be in that book of life. You got to be found in the book of life. That comes via the gospel. The perfect work of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, the shed blood, his overcoming death for us. Repent, be born again. Come out of your sin, churchianity, and every false way. Walk in holiness and obedience. God gives you a spirit to do it, and endure to the end. Your name will get written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you endure to the end, as Jesus said in Matthew 10, you won't suffer the lake of fire, the second death. You will go and you will be with the Father. And I think this is an important note to make here. Just as Hades exists for evil with the lake of fire to come, look at, you have Abraham's bosom exists for the redeemed. And guess what's coming for us? The new heavens, the new Jerusalem. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them, and they and will be their God. God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. I think that's beautiful. That's awesome. Just like there's a promise of judgment for those, the wicked in Hades, there's a promise of eternal bliss and paradise with the Father for the redeemed. So scripture always helps us interpret scripture. We don't need to guess. We don't need to make up theology. Guessing and making up doctrine, you know what it gets you? It might seem high-minded and all theological and smart and intellectualism, but it's really sinful. Watch out. The book of Revelation says don't add to the word. Otherwise, you get the plagues added to you. You don't want that. Now, I need to make a note here. 2 Peter 2, verse 4 makes reference to hell. The word there is Tartaru. He's pointing to the demons, but it's really just another place, another part of Hades, perhaps a deeper part of Hades reserved for them. The demons are held. It says chained, but they're basically bound and belted, even though held back, a limited chain, kind of like Satan with Job. God allowed him to do certain things. They're withheld, but they still have freedom to do certain things. That's clear. They possess people. They cause all kinds of issues. Satan's a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. So it's not a different place. It's just another part of the same place. And I think Jesus' own words make it very clear to us about hell. He talked about describing hell more than heaven. Luke 12, 4 through 5. But I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you of whom you should fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath the power to cast ye into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, no doubt about that. So I say, we hang our hat on the words of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our King, our Lord, our Master, our Creator, and his parable, which is the clearest thing I see in Scripture. What does it tell us? Hades is a holding place. There's a restful and there's a torment side. There's a final place of rest for the redeemed and one for the people to be tormented for the wicked that are not in the gospel that I just preached to you, not in the book of life. Now, some people have said, oh, this all seems so confusing. Why a holding place? Why this? Why that? You know what I think this all perfectly shows? I can't answer why God does what he does. He's the creator. He can do anything he wants. I think this shows God's authority perfectly. Ready? Some points. He creates you. Sin came in. He made a way for salvation in Christ. He will redeem those that are willing to repent and walk in his ways. He'll hold you as his own if you're willing to work with him in his covenant. Or he'll send you to outer darkness into a holding place. He controls Satan and the demons. They're on a band or a chain in holding. And he holds it all in his hand. In this case, Hades, a limbo, until Christ returns, takes everything back, takes this earth back, brings it back for the Father's glory, final judgment over sin and death, hell, Satan. Yeah, it shows the perfect order of the Father. 1 Corinthians 15:33, he's a God of order. And Christ's total authority, as I said, over sin, death, Hades, Satan, demons, and the lake of fire. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This all shows the power of God perfectly, how he controls everything. And so we need to take heed of that. It would be wise for you, seekers listening, you repent and run to that gospel, run to Christ to be redeemed. Saints, meet a lot of people that claim to be saints. You better make sure you're walking in this gospel. You better make sure your name's in the book of life. You better make sure it remains in the book of life by you holding fast. Paul and Jesus warn, lest you remain steadfast, you do not have the hope of the gospel. Check out the gospel at don'tperish.com. Make sure you know who you know. Make sure God knows you. Make sure every day you're seeking the kingdom of God. He alone can deliver you from this fiery wrath that's coming. Hades, then the lake of fire. Abraham's bosom to eternal paradise and that new Jerusalem, new heaven, and new earth. I hope that simplified it down for you. We could talk for hours about it. I think it would make it more confusing. Some things are just what they are in God's word. And I believe Jesus told that beautiful parable better than anyone to show us exactly what comes at death for both those that are redeemed, for the wicked, what's coming in the end, the lake of fire. Ponder that. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. Check out don'tperish.com, the gospel, the ecclesia page, the sisters' offerings from Sister Amen, street preaching, the edification page where we add to it every day. Why? We love God. We love our neighbor. We want to point you in the right direction. So many false teachers, so many false denominations. They're all false. Culture set for the wrath of God. I know hardly a handful of people preaching and living the truth, just as Jesus said, few there be that find it. Are you one of the few? Are you going to make it to Abraham's bosom? Are you going to make it to the lake of fire? Test yourself. Paul says, examine yourself, lest you be found a reprobate. I'm going to leave it right there. Love y'all. Seek the kingdom. Christ is worthy. God be praised.